now I'm off to join Charles McKelvey on the news desk, but first we'll take a look at today's headlines.
DS Canal congratulates University of Havana for accreditation by regional association.
Cuban deputies meet on eve of extraordinary session to elect the highest officials of the Cuban state.
Restrictions on money remittances from the United States to Cuba come into effect.
Indigenous protesters march against Ecuadorian president's austerity measures. Now for the news in detail.
Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel has congratulated the University of Havana, which was officially recognized by the Association of Universities of Latin America and the Caribbean. Congratulations to the professors, workers, and students of the University of Havana, the Cuban president wrote on Twitter. Henning Jensen Pennington, president of the association, awarded the recognition to the university rector, Miriam Nicado, Cuba Debate reported. The granting of the certificate to the University of Havana makes it the first university in Cuba accredited by the UDUAL International Evaluation and Accreditation Council. The accreditation assures quality in the universities, said the president of the Evaluation Council, Orlando Delgado Celi, in the ceremony that took place as part of the UDUAL Caribbean meeting, which is currently being held in Havana.
The National Assembly of Popular Power, the ANPP, is meeting this Wednesday prior to its extraordinary session Thursday to elect the highest officials of the Cuban state. The new constitution, approved last April, established a deadline for the election of the president and vice president of the republic of no more than 3 months after the entry into force of the new electoral law, which was passed last July. Prior election of the president and vice president of the republic, the deputies of the National Assembly will elect the president, vice president, and secretary of the assembly, who will also occupy similar responsibilities on the Council of State, which executes the functions of the National Assembly between its sessions. In September, the National Candidacy Commission consulted with deputies from all over the country in order to hear their proposals regarding those deputies who, in their opinion, should be proposed to the assembly by the Candidacy Commission as candidates for the high position in the Cuban state. The National Candidacy Commission is made up of the representatives of the most important mass organizations, the Cuban Workers' Federation, the Committees for the Defense of the Revolution, the Federation of Cuban Women, the National Association of Small Farmers, the Federation of University Students, and the Federation of High School Students. During the meeting on Wednesday, lawmakers are expected to be briefed on the island's economic situation as it gradually overcomes the energy shortage resulting from intensified U.S. aggression.
Starting Wednesday, new restrictions on money remittances from the USA to Cuba and a ban on so-called U-turn banking transactions come into effect. The U.S. Treasury Department announced the measures on September 6th as part of Washington's renewed crusade to suffocate the island's economy. According to the new regulations, a person residing in the United States may only send a maximum of $1,000 every 3 months for family remittances to a Cuban national. The recipients of such remittances cannot be prohibited government officials or prohibited members of the Communist Party of Cuba, nor can they be close relatives of these persons. The new regulations removed an authorization that allowed the remittances in the form of donations, but maintained the possibility of unlimited remittances to certain individuals and non-governmental organizations, which will be extended to private sector workers. The new regulations also ended U-turn transactions, which are transfers of funds to Cuba that pass through U.S. banks but do not begin or end in the USA, and neither the sender nor the recipient is under U.S. jurisdiction. The Federal Register announced that the measure would go into effect on October 9th, 30 days from the date on which the regulations were published.
Massive protests continue through Ecuador as thousands of indigenous people and farmers staged demonstrations in Quito, the capital of the country, to protest against IMF austerity policies. Protesters took over the National Assembly building, which had been abandoned by lawmakers when they fled to Guayaquil, and declared the Congress a People's Assembly. Dramatic scenes of police repression were shared by people through social networks, which broke the news. Silence maintained by private media supporting Ecuadorian President Lenin Moreno. While Ecuador is going through a state of exception, a legal status by which the government can suspend civil and political rights, Guayaquil was besieged by thousands of producers and farmers from the Ecuadorian coast. They managed to break several police fences and established roadblocks that allowed access to main Ecuadorian export port. Although the government had fled to Guayaquil for refuge, Quito remained occupied by thousands of demonstrators. Activities were not being carried out as usual, and there were no regular public or private transportation. On Tuesday evening, President Lenin Moreno declared a curfew around government buildings, prohibiting the free flow of civilians. According to official figures, over 510 protesters have been arrested during 6 days of protests. However, the number of injured and dead has not been announced, although social media users have reported at least 3 people killed as a result of protests against the government. And we're listening to Radio Vancouver's English language broadcast. Back now to the news desk with Charles McKelvey.
Former Ecuadorian president Rafael Correa on Tuesday denied he was orchestrating a coup against President Lenin Moreno from Brussels, Belgium. They are such liars, and they contradict themselves. They say that I am so powerful that from Brussels with an iPhone, I could direct demonstrations in the widest parts of the country, Correa said. He also explained that Moreno had betrayed the Ecuadorian people and democracy by yielding to the request of the International Monetary Fund and its austerity policies. He asserted that the IMF agreement has resulted in harsh measures, such as doubling the price of diesel while reducing taxes for the rich. People can't take it anymore. That is the reality. Meanwhile, pro-U.S. governments around the region hurried to voice their support of Lenin Moreno, among them Peru, Argentina, Brazil, and Colombia. And Venezuelan opposition leader and self-proclaimed President Juan Guaido expressed his support for the Ecuadorian government.
Bolivian authorities have announced that the fire hotspots affecting the Chiquitania region have been extinguished following the worst forest fires the country has experienced in the past decade. The intense rains during the past week have pretty much suffocated all the fire hotspots, and now we are moving to the task of watch and control, said the Secretary of State of Civil Defense, Oscar Cabrera. The Ministry of Sustainable Development and Environment confirmed the announcement, with Minister Cynthia Asin praising the hard work of the firefighting contingents who contributed to the containment of the fire. Our satellite does not register any hot spot of heat nor active fire, said Asin on Sunday. The rain has been fundamental to control the active fires. She added that at least 4 million hectares of lands and woods, most of them located in protected areas, were devastated in about 2 months of intense fires. At least 40 million trees have died, affecting further the existence and survival of at least 1,200 animal species.
Russian spokesman Dmitry Peskov says that Syria's territorial integrity must be preserved and all foreign troops illegally present in the conflict-plagued Arab country must leave, as the United States announced it was withdrawing troops from northeastern Syria. Russia's position, recently announced by President Vladimir Putin, is that all foreign troops illegally present in Syria must leave the country, Peskov told reporters in Moscow. The spokesman then commented on Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan's statement that Ankara is prepared for a military campaign against Kurdish-led militants from the so-called Syrian Democratic Forces in northeastern Syria, emphasizing Russia's call for refraining from actions that may hamper settlement of the Syrian crisis. Peskov further noted that Russia expects Turkey to preserve the territorial and political integrity of Syria. Moscow agrees that Turkey must take action to ensure its security. It means resistance to terrorist elements that may be hiding in Syria. But first and foremost, we say that the territorial and political integrity of Syria must be observed, he said. Peskov further stated that Putin and Erdogan have had no discussion concerning Ankara's plan to carry out a military operation in northeastern Syria. However, You know that Russian and Turkish militaries and intelligence agencies maintain close contact, the Kremlin spokesman pointed out.
In New York City, a group of protesters calling for more action to stop climate change vandalized the iconic Wall Street Charging Bull, pouring red paint on it while climbing atop it. The climate protesters belong to an organization called Extinction Rebellion, which organized a demonstration in 60 cities worldwide. According to its website, the protests are slated to last 2 weeks. A person from the group was raising a neon green flag on top of the 11-foot-tall bronze statue surrounded by city police officers. Several protesters appeared to be laying on the ground around the bull with red paint on their bodies, staging a die-in or simulating being dead. The bull, a symbol of American capitalism, is frequently target of protests. It was vandalized 2 years ago by climate protesters. Demonstrations have been taking place in countries including the UK, Germany, Spain, Austria, France, New Zealand. Protesters in London shut down the Lambeth Bridge, Whitehall, the Mall, and major central London roads. 30 people were reportedly charged with committing offences in Sydney, while more than 100 were arrested in Amsterdam. Once again, our headlines for today.
Diaz Canal congratulates University of Havana for accreditation by regional association.
Cuban deputies meet on eve of extraordinary session to elect the highest officials of the Cuban state.
Restrictions on money remittances from the United States to Cuba come into effect.
Indigenous protesters march against Ecuadorian president's austerity measures.